Thank you for joining us for today's Practical Living broadcast, and I pray that through this message that you will learn how to apply God's Word and truths to any situation in your life. Stay with us as we discover God's truths that will transform us.
Well, here we are, the second weekend of January. Actually, last weekend, we started out with that message that I talked about, the importance of conquering things in your life. And I want to move us into a series that will take us about 6 to 8 weeks. We'll move into February with it, and the series is entitled Ford. And I'm going to get to it in just a moment, a particular passage that spoke to me maybe a month and a half ago as I was preparing for the new year. But as I was thinking about 2022, as I usually try to do in preparing my heart for preaching and teaching and also just my own personal relationship with God, what is the word that you have for us in 2022? What do you want to speak to us as a church family? What do you want to speak, God, into my life as I lead our church family into a brand new year? And the word for this year is the word forward. Would you say that word with me? Forward. Come on, everyone together. Forward. Okay. Now, you might say, well, that seems like a kind of a strange word. We've been going through some really difficult times in our nation's history in terms of COVID, and it seems like there's some revving up of that at this particular time. Maybe it feels like that you're going more backward than forward, but what I want you to think with me about is how God is going to take your life, your family, your relationship with Him forward in 2022, because God's plan for your life is always forward. And I want to share with you three things tonight that will lay the foundation for this series together for the next several weeks. I want to talk to you about the fact that it's time for progress. It's all about progress in your life. So let's take a look at these three things together. The first one, I've already stated it in a certain sense, but here it is again for you. Progress is God's goal for your life. I looked up the word progress in the Merriam-Webster dictionary, and the word progress, or the idea of progress, is forward onward movement. It's a word that speaks about gradual betterment in your life, so you're developing to a higher or a better or a more advanced stage of life. The idea of progress is you're going in a direction that is bringing your life to a better point. There's an onward or forward momentum that happens in your life, so your life actually gets higher, better, or advances in some way. And the Bible is very clear that progress is God's goal for your life. Let's take a look at a few scriptures that remind us of this so you'll understand this from a biblical perspective. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, Paul is writing to the Philippian believers and says, "This is my prayer that your love may do what? Abound, advance," we might use that word there, "might grow. That your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight." So we see the principle of growth. Philippians chapter 3, again, the same book of the Bible, verses 12 through 14. Some of you will be familiar with this passage. Paul says, "Not that I've already obtained all this." He's talking about the perfection of spiritual maturity, or "I've arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." And then he says, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do." Notice one thing Paul says, I always make sure that I'm doing in my life, forgetting what is behind, and notice this, straining toward what is forward, straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Here we find in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15, "Be diligent," Paul writes to Timothy and says, "be diligent in these matters, give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress." Is progress God's will for your life? Of course it is. One last verse I'll give you here related to this, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, "Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good." All four of these passages point us to the idea, the principle that God is all about progress in your life. The passage of Scripture, actually the passages of Scripture that really prompted this series in my own heart, are found in the book of Deuteronomy. I want to take you there in Deuteronomy chapter 1 in just a moment. You'll see something unfolding in these two sections of Scripture that I'm about to share with you that have the same theme to them. When the children of Israel, the Hebrews, were delivered from slavery, as Moses led them out of Egyptian slavery across the Red Sea, and he moves them toward a very key point in their journey. He took them to a place called Mount Sinai. Anyone remember Mount Sinai? Well, Mount Sinai was the place where God did something incredible. God gave his people the Ten Commandments there. This great thing called the Ten Commandments happened at a place called Mount Sinai. And the children of Israel stayed at Mount Sinai for an extended period of time as God began to unfold for them his laws. The moral law, which is wrapped up in the Ten Commandments, the ceremonial law, or the laws of worship that they were to use, and also the civil law. He gives them all three of these kinds of laws while they're there at Mount Sinai. But there came a point that God said, okay, you've been here long enough. Take a look with me at this passage in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. There at Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai, the Lord our God said to us at Horeb or Sinai, you have stayed long enough at this mountain. Break camp and do what? When I read that, it really struck me in a way like perhaps it had never struck me before, that God spoke to his people and said, you have stayed long enough at this mountain. It's time to break camp, and it's time to advance. It's time to go forward. God says, you've been around this mountain long enough. I've accomplished my purpose for you here at this mountain. Don't get stuck at the same mountain. I want to tell you today that God's plan for your life in 2022 is that you would not remain stuck at the same mountain. There's some mountains in your life that you've been at long enough. Okay, I'm going to talk about those in just a few moments in terms of some of those and what they are. You get to chapter 2 of the book of Deuteronomy, and I was just simply reading through Deuteronomy, and I landed in chapter 2 after obviously finishing chapter 1 and realized God a second time said this to his people. In fact, it was a different set of circumstances. They had now left Mount Sinai. They tried to make their way to the Promised Land, and of course, they had failed to go into the Promised Land, and they'd wandered around a wilderness for how many years? 40 years. And so God speaks to them again in the second set of circumstances, and notice what he says to them very similarly. Then we turned back and set out toward the wilderness along the route to the Red Sea as the Lord had directed me. For a long time, notice that a long time, we made our way around the hill country of Seir. Then the Lord said to me, you have made your way around this hill country. What does it say? Long enough, turn north, or it's time for you to go forward. It's time for you to advance. I want you to think with me for a moment in your life. Would you agree with me that in certain areas of your life, it's time for you to move forward? And God's word to us, dear church, in this new series, in this new season of the year, is that God's plan for your life is forward. God's will for your life is for you to begin to experience progress in your life. Some of you have been stuck in certain things in your life for an extended period of time, and I'm telling you that 2022 can be the year that you get unstuck. That 2022 can very well be the year that you begin to advance to a new level with God that you've never experienced before. You never perhaps even dreamed that you could experience, but if you'll cooperate with God, see, God can't move you forward. God can call you forward, but you have to make the choice to move forward with God. It is a cooperative effort. But I want you to know tonight, I want you to get this deep in your heart, that God's word to us as a church family, and the word that I believe he wants me to deliver to you in this new year, is that God's plan for your life is for some forward advancement. You have some progress ahead of you in 2022 if you'll cooperate with God. Here's the second principle I want to share with you this evening. Everybody got the first one? What's God's will for your life? Progress. Second one, notice this. Progress doesn't always look like progress. Let that sink in for a moment. Progress doesn't always look like progress. So we have this perception of what progress is. We think, well, we're really progressing in life if we're moving toward maybe greater success or maybe some kind of blessing that we wanted in life in a certain way, or we are arriving at a particular professional objective that we've had. We think that progress really is defined by those things, and certainly those are a part of progress. But I want you to know that God defines progress differently, and God will often use different methods and means to produce progress, and progress from God's perspective doesn't always look like progress to us. Sometimes it looks very different to us. Sometimes with God, progress is to bring you to a standstill in certain areas of your life just to get your attention. Sometimes God will bring you to places where he puts you on the background of life. You sort of feel like you've been set on a shelf for a while. You feel that your life is kind of an anonymous life, that God's maybe not working in your life. Sometimes God will allow things like delays in your life. You wanted something to happen. It's not happened according to your timetable. God sometimes closes doors. We like to talk about God opening doors, but sometimes God closes doors as well. And when he closes a door for your life, sometimes that's progress, because had you stepped through a door, then what would have happened in your life could have been very detrimental to your life. And God uses all these things in life that sometimes we would rather him not use in our life, because what looks like progress to us doesn't always look like progress to God. God uses, as the old statement says, God works in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. Have you experienced that in your life? I'm sure you have. It's true in the story of Deuteronomy, the two stories that I outlined for you a moment ago. There was a period of time that they needed to be at that mountain, both of them. The first one, they needed the law, so they needed to be there for a period of time so that God brought them to a standstill so he could give them his law and give them times of teaching and instruction so they would know how to live. And so God brought them to the mountain, and he said, you need to stay here while I talk to you about my law. The second example is when they were getting ready to go into the promised land, and they'd been circling for 40 years, the wilderness journey that they were involved in. And that wilderness journey was very important, because going around that mountain for 40 years resulted in the death of the older generation that did not believe God, did not have confidence in God. It raised up a new generation to enter into the promised land. So it was a God-designed standstill for a period of time in life. They didn't think progress was happening, but progress really was happening. Let's talk about another couple of illustrations, because some of you are here tonight, you're saying, you know what, I want to go forward, but it doesn't feel like much is really happening in my life, and maybe that's the very thing that's resulting in what's going to produce progress in your life. In the Old Testament, there was a man by the name of Joseph. Joseph, he was incredible young man. He had a great dream given to him by God. His father loved him dearly, and his brothers were very jealous of him, and so his brothers made a plan to destroy him, and finally they decided, instead of killing Joseph, what we'll do is we'll sell him into slavery. We'll tell Dad that he's dead. We'll give all the evidence that Joseph is dead, but we'll sell him into slavery. And they sold him down into Egyptian slavery, where he ended up at the house of a man by the name of Potiphar. And at Potiphar's house, Joseph began to really succeed in lots of ways. Potiphar loved him dearly. In fact, the Bible says that Potiphar made Joseph really in charge of everything in his house, his primary manager or steward of everything in his house. And there was a moment when Potiphar's wife tried to seduce Joseph, and Joseph refused the seduction. And because of that, she accused him of rape, and he ends up in prison. So he goes from dad's house, being a favored son, into, if you will, slavery. With his brothers selling him into slavery, he ends up in Potiphar's house. Then he ends up in the Egyptian prison, and all this happens over a period of 13 years. Would you agree with me? If you're a shining example of potential success as a 17-year-old kid, and then you spend 13 years in prison, that doesn't look like progress. Would you agree with me? Okay. But you know what was happening during those 13 years? During those 13 years, God was working inside of Joseph. He was forming his character. He was giving him an Egyptian education because he was in the prison of the Pharaoh of Egypt. So he's learning all about Egyptian culture because God had a plan for Joseph. The plan that God had for Joseph was not that he would stay in prison, but that one day the favor of God would come upon him in a very unique way, and he would end up being second in command, the prime minister of Egypt. Why? Because he walked through his difficult season that didn't look like progress, but it was progress. Look at these stories in Acts chapter 7, how it describes it here. Because the patriarchs were jealous of Joseph, they sold him as a slave into Egypt. But God was with him and rescued him from all his troubles. He gave Joseph wisdom and enabled him to gain the goodwill of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So Pharaoh made him ruler over Egypt and all his palace. But what I want you to notice here, they were jealous of Joseph. They sold him as a slave in Egypt. And then he ultimately becomes what? The ruler over Egypt and all of his people. So he's sold as a slave, and what does he end up being? Are you with me here? Didn't look like progress, right? He's sold into slavery, but he ends up being a ruler. But here's what we often forget. There were 13 years in between those two. And how Joseph handled those 13 years, extremely important. Let's look at another example of this in Scripture. I think all of us know Moses. We've been talking about Moses here just a few moments ago as I described him leading the children of Israel out of slavery. But what you need to remember about Moses is that Moses' life was not always a piece of cake. We often think of him as this great deliverer. But what I want you to see is I want you to see the sequence in Moses' life, what didn't look like a lot of progress. Acts chapter 7, verses 23 through 25. When Moses was how old? 40 years old. Don't miss that. He decided to visit his own people, the Israelites. He saw one of them being mistreated by an Egyptian. So he went to his defense and avenged him by killing the Egyptian. So he's 40. He's trying to become the deliverer of his people, the Israelites. But he gets angry about what he sees, and what does he do? He becomes a murderer. Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them, but they did not. Let's take a look at what happens next. When Moses heard this, he fled to Midian, where he settled as a foreigner and had two sons. What doesn't seem like progress is going to turn into progress. So how old was he when he started this journey that we're looking at right now? He's 40 years old. Let's go now to the next verse of Scripture. After 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to Moses in the flames of the burning bush in the desert near Mount Sinai. What happened was this. After 40 years, so by this time, how old is Moses? He's 80. Did it look like progress? No, Moses spent 40 years of his life in a wilderness, thinking that God would not use him ever again because he made a big mistake in his life. And certainly God could never use him again. But God took 40 years and worked some incredible things in Moses as he took care of his father-in-law's sheep. And by the time he's 80 years of age, he has the experience at the burning bush. And then he goes back because God says, go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. At 80 years of age, he does the work and will of God for his life. God didn't waste those 40 years. God prepared Moses in those 40 years. What I want you to know today is that progress in your life doesn't always look like progress. But sometimes when you're in a place that seems like a standstill, it is really God working incredible things in your life to prepare you for your future. It's interesting in the life of Moses. He had 40 years before he becomes a deliverer. He has 40 years in the wilderness while he's learning this, and then he has 40 years of ministry, 120 years that he lived, and so it's all divided into three time frames of 4 decades. It's incredible how God had a plan in Moses' life, and God has a plan in your life as well. Let's talk about Jesus for a moment. Everybody still with me so far? Okay. What are we talking about this weekend? It's time for what? Progress, right? And so God's will for your life is? What's God's will for your life? It's progress, but progress doesn't always look like progress when it comes to God. I'm trying to give you a little encouragement right now. Think about Jesus for a moment. Does anyone remember how old Jesus was when he began his ministry? Jesus was 30 years old when he began his ministry. Does anyone remember how long Jesus ministered? About 3 years, at the most 3.5 years. So God took 30 years for Jesus to have a 3-year ministry. Doesn't look like progress, does it? But we have to embrace the reality that progress doesn't always look like progress. In the horticultural area of life, there's something called vernalization. You may have never heard that phrase before, but horticulturalists, that is in the area of raising fruit trees and various kind of trees and different flowering plants, they understand this thing called vernalization. And vernalization is the important element of the winter times for a seed. That there are many trees, especially fruit trees and flowering plants, that they will not flower, nor will they produce very much fruit unless they go through a winter season. And the colder the winter, the colder the winter season, the better the fruit will be. And it's true in our lives that sometimes God takes you and I through what I would call spiritual vernalization periods. He takes you through a winter time, and it doesn't seem like a lot of stuff is happening. All you can see is the dead limbs in your life. It doesn't seem like God is doing anything in your life, but God is at work. He's causing your roots to go down deeper, and he's causing some things to happen in that cold season of your life so that when the spring comes, you'll have fruit to bear that would be incredible fruit to bring glory and honor to God. Because God's will for your life is progress. His will for your life is that you would bear fruit. So progress doesn't always look like progress. But here's the third point for us tonight, this weekend. Here's a third one. Here's a caution for you. God uses delays in your life, as I just described in all three of those examples. But read the statement with me. Delays can become what? Disastrous. There's a time that God will use a delay in your life, but there's also a time when that delay turns not from something that is healthy in your life that God is using in a certain way to where it becomes actually disastrous for your life. There's a time when you've been at a mountain long enough. There's times you've been through a winter long enough. Take a look with me again at Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. It says, "The Lord our God said to us at Horeb, 'You have stayed long enough at this mountain.'" In other words, you've been here for a period of time. I stopped you here. I brought you to this place. I taught you my law, but now you've been there long enough at this mountain. Break camp and advance, and here's the reason why, into the hill country of the Amorites. Go to the neighboring people in the Arabah and the mountains in the western foothills in the Negev and along the coast to the land of the Canaanites and to Lebanon as far as the great river, the Euphrates. See, I have given you this land. Go in and take possession of the land the Lord swore he would give to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to their descendants after them. Here's what I want you to see. That God said, "Now I brought you to Sinai. I stopped you there for a period of time because I was doing some stuff in you for that delay, that period of time that you were there. There was some vernalization going on in your life. I was getting you some rootedness in your relationship with me, but you've been there long enough. There's a promised land that God says I have in store for you." I hope you're getting this tonight. It's a promised land. You've been here long enough. And as surely as I would say to you this evening that some of you are perhaps in that winter stage of spiritual life, it seems that it's dry and it seems it's dead. It seems like nothing is happening in your spiritual life and you're wondering what's going on. As surely as I'm just reminding you that sometimes those seasons do happen in all of our lives and they're good for us because progress doesn't always look like progress when it comes to God. But as surely as that's the case, there are others that are here tonight that in your life right now, God's saying, "Okay, you've been in this season long enough. You've been going around this mountain long enough. Now I want you to advance, break camp, and move forward. There's a promised land I have in store for you." Anybody ready to break camp and advance? Amen? Okay. It's exactly what God said to them. Same principle here you see in the second passage that I shared with you a moment ago. Deuteronomy 2, 2 and 3. Then the Lord said to me, you've made your way around this mountain long enough. Now turn north. Now north was the direction again of the promised land. God said, I want to lead you forward because you're about to get stuck. You're about to get stuck in a place where I don't want you to be stuck. It served a purpose in your life. You've been there for a season, but I don't want you to get stuck because that territory that might have originally been a blessing to grow you can become a curse that will destroy you if you don't rise up and begin to move forward. And there are many of us that have been going around the same mountain long enough, circling the same set of situations long enough, and God says, I want to move you forward in 2022. Let's talk about some of the things that you need to leave behind in 2022. I'm going to unpack a lot more of this as we go through this series together. Tonight's sort of a foundational laying the principles out for us here. Number one, it's time to break camp and move forward if you're living in disobedience to God right now. Boy, it's quiet. True, right? If you're disobeying God in your life right now, that's a mountain you don't want to keep circling. Amen? What does it mean to disobey God? To disobey God means just not to do what God wants you to do in your life. And the reason that God gives us directions and God gives us instructions is not because he's a mean God. He wants to rob us of pleasure and sort of take things away from our lives. No, disobedience always results in some level of curse in your life. It never brings about a blessing. It always brings about something that is a curse in your life. And so God says, if you're going around that mountain and the name of that mountain is called disobedience, it would be a really good time right now to make the choice to break camp and to advance and to stop going around that mountain any longer. Amen? And there's some of you tonight that I would say that that's maybe where you've been in some area of your life that you know that you've been walking in disobedience to God. I want to remind you that God loves you and God does not want you to live in the mountain called or at the mountain called disobedience. You've been there long enough. For some of you, you're living at the mountain called resignation. Resignation is like I just give up. I fought these battles too long and hard. It's been difficult in my life. And so, you know, I'm just tired and so I'm not going to fight anymore. I'll just give in to the reality, what feels like a reality that this mountain is going to always be a part of my life. As we talked about last weekend, David made the decision to fight the giant, and you and I need to fight giants as well. When Israel's army all resigned and said, I guess Goliath is going to win, David said, no, he's not. And so if you're circling a mountain called just give up, I'm done with this, I'm tired, I'm weary, I'm just going to quit the journey, not going to try anymore, that's a mountain you need to break up with tonight, amen? It's a mountain you need to leave behind. Here's the third one. If you're living in the mountain around, if you're circling a mountain called condemnation, the mountain of condemnation is that feeling of guilt that you can't shake in your life, where the enemy is reminding you over and over again of your failures. It is a mountain that you've been at long enough, because the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And so it's a mountain that you want to break camp from and advance and go forward. It's not a good mountain. It's a mountain of destruction in your life. It's not something that you want to keep circling. Let's go to the next one. It's a mountain called apathy and complacency. Apathy and complacency is just when you kind of lost your concern, your passion for God. That first love that you used to have for God is just not there anymore. And you're kind of just struggling along. And it's just doing the religious things and maybe still doing the same things you've always done. But you just don't have that fire burning inside of you like you once had. There was a time in your life when you were burning with a love for God. You loved his word and you enjoyed picking up his word and reading it. You enjoyed your times of prayer, but over the years, maybe because of just busyness or a variety of things, you've become apathetic and you've become complacent in your life and you're wondering, where did the fire go? I'm here to tell you that God is the God that can rekindle your fire, okay? He can rekindle your fire. The Bible says that we're called to return to our first love. And for some of you, you're not really living in disobedience. You're just living in apathy and complacency. And God says, let me breathe on that fire, that coal inside of you, and bring it back to life again so that you can be that vibrant Christian that you desire to be and perhaps that you once were in your life. It's time to break up with that mountain. For some of us, it's immaturity. There's some that are here that perhaps you're living this life, maybe you're watching online, and you're stuck in what I would call childishness. You're stuck in a childish way of thinking. You're stuck in a childish set of behaviors. You're stuck in some childish relationship patterns in your life. And God says you've been a child long enough. You've been circling that little mountain called immaturity for way too long. Break camp, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He said, when I was a child, I thought like a child. I spoke like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put childish things away. Here's another mountain that you and I need to move forward from, and that's circumstances and environments. What am I talking about there? There's some of you that feel stuck in a circumstance in your life. It could be a variety of things. I don't know what your circumstance might be, but it's an environment, a circumstance where you feel like you've gotten stuck in something and it's happened, it's frustrated your life, it's limited your sense of a purpose and value. You feel like that's going to define who you are. And it seems as though those walls are closing in around you. That mountain is a mountain you'll never get beyond. I'm here to tell you that God can help you to get out of circumstances and situations and environments that are defeating your life and draining life and energy from you. I have two more that I want to share with you. These are mountains. I'm asking you, what is your mountain tonight? Worry and fear. That's a mountain a lot of people circle. They just keep circling. Worry and fear. It consumes their life. And they've been that same mountain year after year and decade after decade. And there have been so many things robbed from them because they're living in that sense of anxiety, intimidation and fear with their life. It's limited them in so many ways. And God comes to us in 2022 and he says, you've lived at that mountain long enough. How you'd like to move on from that mountain? Amen. That's not a good mountain to live at. It's a mountain that brings about destruction in our lives. And the last one that I'll mention here is this one. Limited negative attitudes and mindsets. We talked a lot about this in the fall of this year when I shared with you a series of messages where we're talking about the way that we think. And we still have to continually work in that on those patterns in our life, because so often we get stuck in these limited perspectives and attitudes and negative attitudes and mindsets that eat away at us. It's the same mountain we go around time and time and time again. And the longer you delay in dealing with these mountains, the longer you're going to continue to circle that mountain, and the more disastrous the effect will be upon your life. And I feel prophetically and hopefully pastorally as we begin 2022 together that God comes to us today and he's saying, what mountain are you circling? What mountain have you circled for years or you've circled for decades? And God comes and he says to us tonight, are you ready to get up from that mountain? Are you ready to move forward? You've been around that mountain long enough. It's time to make some progress in your life. And I truly believe that 2022 can be a year of incredible progress for you. If you'll cooperate with God, God will work in your life. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray? Father, we thank you today for your word. We're grateful for the fact that you're speaking to us about a brand new year. Lord, you're calling us forward. And Lord, it's all about progress in our life. And Lord, you want to call us to places where we're moving beyond those things that are mountains that have limited our life. And I pray for each one of us gathered here and those watching online that you would speak to us very clearly about the mountains that we need to leave behind so that we are breaking camp and advancing this year through the power of your Holy Spirit. For that, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I'm going to ask that no one be looking around or moving about for the next few moments. Very quiet and very still. If you're watching online, let me encourage you just to stay with me for the next few moments as well. This is such an important time. Don't click out yet because it's so valuable. We're going to have communion together in a moment as well. But there's no way that you and I can advance in our life and make the kind of progress that we need without the help of the Holy Spirit, without Jesus living inside of us. And there's perhaps someone here tonight or maybe someone watching online that you've never invited Jesus Christ into your life. You've never opened the door of your heart and said, Jesus, come in. I want to turn my life over to you. And that's where everything begins. It begins with Jesus. and with our heads bowed and with our eyes closed. If you say, no, Pastor, that's me. I really need Christ in my life. I need to start that relationship with Him. That's my beginning point tonight. I want to encourage you to pray a very simple prayer with me, right where you're seated or right where you're watching from. And just whisper this prayer, but mean it from your heart as I lead you in prayer tonight. Just start by whispering the name Jesus right where you are. Whisper His name. Say, Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And I'm so sorry for everything I've done wrong. I'm sorry for all of my sins. Jesus, I believe in You. I believe You're God's Son, the Savior of the world. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that You rose from the grave, that You're alive. Now pray this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus Christ, come into my life tonight. Forgive me for all of my sins. I turn my life over to You. In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank You for each person that prayed that prayer with me tonight. Thank You that, Lord, that's a prayer You always answer, You respond to. For the Scripture says, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. So, Lord, I pray that that assurance, that awareness, that confidence would be in every heart. Thank You for making us new creations in You. Now help them to grow in You, follow You, and serve You from this day forward. For that we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
I would like to close today by giving you an opportunity to ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life. Would you pray with me right now? Right where you are, just simply bow your head with me, and I'm going to give you a prayer to pray, and you can simply speak this prayer out, whisper this prayer out, and from the sincerity of your heart, call upon God, and I promise you that He will hear and answer you. So let's pray together. Start by simply whispering the name Jesus. Let there come from your heart just the declaration of His name. Say, Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, that I have fallen short with You. I'm sorry for all of my sins. Jesus, I believe in You. I believe that You are God's Son. I believe that You are the Savior of the world. I believe that You died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that You rose from the grave, that You are alive today. Now pray these words. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Give me a new start in You. I commit my life to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer with me, I want to encourage you with a promise from God's Word that says that when we call upon God's name, we call upon the Son of God, there is salvation that comes to our lives. He changes us from the inside out, and you become a new creation. All things pass away, all things become new. And that's exactly what has happened to you today. Your next step really is to make sure that you get into a good Bible-believing church. And you begin to study God's Word, get God's Word in you, and to make sure that you get a copy of the Bible if you don't have one and begin to read it. Spend some time every day in prayer. And I would encourage you also to check out the resources on our website that will help you to get going in your relationship with Jesus. You can find them at church-redeemer.org. Get those into your hands. Get started in your new life with Jesus Christ. Thanks again for joining us today. May God bless you, and we look forward to seeing you next time.